The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and today I'm delighted to be welcoming back a good friend of mine, a long-time guest on this show, one of my most regular guests, one of my most popular guests. That is Dr. Eric Karlstrom. I'm going to bring him up right now. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, hello, Andy. Good to be with you again. I think we've done something like 41 shows together, and this would be either 41 or 42. So, yeah, it's great to have this long-running conversation on matters that, you know, are very important.
Yes.
And I hope we're getting some people to see things that they might have otherwise, ignored or overlooked.
Yes, absolutely. And also, of course, you've been something of a regular on Jeff Rentz's show, and this show now goes out on the Rentz Radio Network. So before we dive into the topic today, could you please give the audience at Rentz, who've recently joined us, details of what you do and where they can find your work, the different specialisms that you focus on your various websites, Eric?
Yeah, Andy, I retired from a 30-year teaching career at three universities. I was a geography professor who specialized in physical geography, landforms, climate, and soils, and also environmental issues. I retired in 2011, but by that time I'd already developed some websites that were educational. One of them was naturalclimatechange.org. In talking about natural climate cycles, I was able to pinpoint back in the 90s that the man-caused global warming hoax was a swindle, and now it's called climate change. But yeah, so I had that more or less sorted out from the scientific point of view. But after 9/11 happened, I also got another website, 911nwo.com, and even as a professor, I was working on that. And now I still maintain these very large websites. They're free to the public, basically digital libraries of information. And, just a couple of years ago, we did a show, I think it was September 11th, 2017, in which I expressed what seemed to be the obvious conclusion that, yes, 9/11 was an inside job, but it was also a Mossad Israeli job. And now I'm seeing articles in State of the Nation and the Millennium Report to that effect. So that's a little bit encouraging. And seeing articles in those and other journals also about the many people are on to the global warming swindle. And then I've got my San Luis Valley waterwatch.com website, which talks about water issues in the San Luis Valley of Southern Colorado, where I have a house. And then the one that we've been dealing with most lately is my website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, which now has over 1,200 posts. And I would direct people to take a look at the recent abstract and synopsis that I did last month on the homepage of that. This is a very, very daunting subject, but I think one of great importance to all of us. And now I'm talking about gang stalking in particular, which I have referred to as with different acronyms. My current favorite is G5, Global Government Gang Stalking Genocide Gestapo. In other words, as we slide into communist totalitarian governments, authoritarian governments, they're pulling out all these old tricks that the Soviets used and the East German Stasi and the Nazi Gestapo, and and they're taking out their political enemies with these black bag programs. And in 2013, I discovered that I was one of these targeted individuals. And so I've been studying it both from an academic viewpoint and from the point of view of somebody who is dealing with it in their life on virtually a day-to-day basis. So, and then there's my music website, ericcarlstrom.com. And the reason that that is now starting to become more relevant to our discussion is that this last fall I put together, I've done 50 recordings. Some are rewrites of old popular songs that we've played on recent shows that deal with gang stalking. And then some are narrations that I take from a website generally by other people. And then I put my own instrumental music behind it. So I've given you the links, and maybe you can put that on the today's liner notes. 42 informational music narrations that explain the global gang stalking, electronic torture, non-consensual human mind behavior experimentation program is my title for one of the posts. And then I have the action. People can go on to that link and they can listen to these. A lot of people prefer to learn by hearing. And in this case, we'll be playing some of these today. People can put on the cut, and they can hear the words of somebody who knows what they're talking about. And I've pulled in many experts on this, and then have some hopefully pleasing background music to listen to as well. So, and then also the texts for these 42 narrations I have on the website, and the new theme songs for TIs, their families, and other human beings. I've got those three links now on my website, and I've given them to you. So if people want to listen to these, it might be a relatively quick and painless way to do it. If they listen to all of them, all 42, it's about 4 hours worth of listening. If they listen strictly to any one set, I would suggest the ones by Stephen O'Keefe, the Canadian targeted individual who I think has a website still, but some of his work has been taken down. We'll be listening to one of those today. So that's by way of introduction. I've been very busy in my retirement trying to educate myself and others about what I think are the very most important issues that we face in our nations in order to maintain our national sovereignties and our sovereignties as individuals.
Thank you, Eric. And it's certainly most unique. I haven't had any other guests that have literally put together songs and musical narrations for broadcast on this show. So it's an honour to be able to play these. And also it gives the audience something a little bit different, which I like to try and do on this show. There are many fine shows out there. And I look at all of us who are out there on the right side of the alternative media and are telling the truth as colleagues, not enemies. But at the same time, I think it's good that we have healthy competition and we stimulate each other by performing as best as we possibly can, as our guests possibly can, so we can constantly strive to put on a better product for all of the people listening. That being said, Eric, would you like me to start off with your first track today?
Yes, let's dive into this one by James F. Marino, which came off of his website. When I first encountered these ideas, I thought they were pretty extreme and I didn't really believe them, didn't really know whether to believe them. Now I believe that he's accurate. So let's listen to this short description of what he sees as the big issue, the big problem.
Thank you, Eric. And this one, folks, is called A Race of Cybernetic Slaves. Here we go.
From James F. Marino's The human species is on the precipice of becoming a race of mind-controlled cybernetic slaves. It is Rothschild Zionism's control over the U.S. military intelligence complex and its total subversion of this complex, which the American citizenry must collectively be made aware of, especially since this Orwellian complex is being used in secret to brain map the entire U.S. population in the interest of ultimately reducing us to a cybernetic race of beings whose state of consciousness will come from a neural network of artificial intelligence-driven computers. Imagine a race of people all thinking the same thoughts simultaneously while being incapable of having an individual thought. A true slave race, and you can begin to understand the inherent evil which drives those who operate within the very hierarchy of this complex. If we are attempting to unravel the secret of the most perplexing mystery of this century, we should acknowledge that certain segments of mankind, in order to accomplish their power-hungry plans, have often been happy to pull the veil over the eyes of, if not put out the eyes of, their fellows who inhabit this earth.
Interesting information there, Eric. Where would you like to go with this?
Well, this is huge. You know, I've been watching the excellent, almost four-hour-long YouTube, The Minds of Men, by Aaron and Melissa Dykes, which talks about really the history of cybernetics, which is the word coined by Dr. Norbert Wiener, who during World War II was part of the Macy conferences, really mapped out a future for mankind that was secret, as Marino states. And basically the idea is to merge man and machine, and for some humans to be able to control other humans. His second book, I think, is called The Human Use of Human Beings. Now, Dr. Norbert Wiener was a mathematician at MIT and a Jew, and a brilliant man, got his PhD, I think, at the age of 17 from Harvard, and studied under Bertrand Russell. Maybe we should do a program about this. But the idea of turning human beings into cyborg slaves, it doesn't appeal to me, Andy. Are you on board on that one? I mean, there couldn't be anything worse. This is the most hideous possible future for mankind. In other words, we're going to eradicate free will. We're going to eradicate any genuine life for humanity, so that we can transform humanity into our slaves. Meanwhile, of course, we'll take that technology, we being the satanically energized ruling elite, Satan's agents, in fact, we will have digital immortality. This is the immortality project of people like Elon Musk, who now has the Neuralink and the Neuralace. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about a hive mind for humanity. And gee, if you just pay us, we'll hive you in to a network. And now your brain power is going to be enhanced with all the brain power of all these other brains. Well, this is one of the reasons why they're going after smart TIs. They want to actually, as he says, map our brains and pull it into the hive. This is pretty odious stuff. And I think, we better turn off our televisions and our cell phones and pay attention to this and stop it, because we really are talking about the future of our race. And I agree with you that, you know, we need divine intervention. But meanwhile, we have a responsibility to call it what it is and to educate each other and oppose it with all our might.
Yes.
So that's the big picture. The big picture is Satan's agents, who we have identified, Jesus Christ identified, as the Synagogue of Satan, the title of your book, and the Pharisees, who are the modern Jews. That's the core of this satanically energized group. And we can talk about this in the context of some of the other recordings, but if we listen to these six recordings of Stephen O'Keefe, the TI from Canada, not only will we understand what the targeting process is all about, it's very, very complex. This is a brilliant man to figure this out, because he's meanwhile being attacked and tortured on a daily basis over a period of many years. But he also figured out who his assailants are and did a brilliant job of identifying them in his websites. So maybe we should listen to that one, Andy, and jump right into the Stephen O'Keefe number six. If you listen to these on the musical narrations, all six of O'Keefe's narrations here is about 40 minutes. So if people want to understand targeting. I would suggest that he is one of the real brilliant experts. And see, the reason I know about these things is I read, you know, I study. The other people, like Dr. Ronnie Kilda, Stephen O'Keefe, Gloria Naylor, Cheryl Welsh, Kay Griggs, there are many, many, Harlan Girard, many, many TIs have written about this, targeted individuals. So many of these people, if you put it together, you start to understand what's happening.
Yes, indeed. And of course, as Eric said, this is number six. So go to the link, which will be in the post for this show, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, and then you will be able to hear the other parts. But just on what you said about divine intervention, this is something, you know, that's my belief. I think that certainly I don't see a political solution to this problem. And then people will say, well, why are you bothering doing this show then, if it's all going to be completely out of our hands? Well, for some reason, this is the direction that I've been pushed into in life. I mean, I find it, you know, I find God works in mysterious ways. I mean, in his position, I wouldn't have got me to write The Synagogue of Satan. I'd have found an author out there who'd made all his money, so he's going to be completely set for life anyway, and then wake him up to this information and get him to put the book out, even if he printed it privately because his own publisher wouldn't do it. But that's just not the way that God works. Or I'd get a prime-time popular show out there from the mainstream and get their popular presenter to wake up to this information and then set up their own network and go on the alternative media. Of course, Jeff was working in prime time before this, but he's the closest that we have. But this is just the way that it seems to go. So if you do feel in the same way people listening today, they might say, well, why did I find out about this information? Well, you've all found out about it for a reason. And I think that when we realise that we seem to be directed here for some reason, it gives us an element of responsibility to get as much good work out as possible. And that's why I like having people like Eric on the show. So that being said, let's play O'Keefe number six. Here we go, folks.
In his YouTube Deceive and Hide, Jewish Mob Stalking Culture, Canadian targeted citizen Stephen O'Keefe states, with so many Jews involved with methods of deep psychological torment directed at me for so many years, it is impossible that these methods are not culturally Jewish, known by all Jews above a certain age. This culturally Jewish method of profiling and stalking someone to ruin would have existed before technology made it easy, perhaps explaining why Jews have been exiled from so many lands. The benefits to shadow governments are endless. Spy operations, police stings, drug dealing, money laundering drops, and black operation terror events, where an asset or target are surrounded by nothing but layers of backup in a pre-scripted crowd simulation. What gave away the core of this mob stalking method as culturally Jewish was that Israelis always positioned themselves in the lead to appear as a victim, with their terrain cues consistently ordinary per Mossad and Shin Bet's mottos of deception and concealment as a strategy. The culturally Jewish methods of deception and concealment are mafia tactics, as evidenced by the similarity in criminal activities between the American Jewish mafia and the Israeli mafia, the embedded nation of Israel and Israel proper. Jewish-American mafia criminal activities include narcotics trafficking, racketeering, gambling, loan sharking, bookmaking, contract killing, diamond trafficking, extortion, weapons trafficking, fraud, prostitution, and money laundering. Israeli mafia criminal activities include drug trafficking, diamond trafficking, racketeering, loan sharking, robbery, extortion, money laundering, hijacking, gambling, prostitution, bookmaking, weapons trafficking, and human trafficking. This video profiles the surveillance proficiencies of Jews and their nation of Israel as Shin Bet, Mossad, and their Sayanim, or helpers, who profiled, mob-stalked, and ruined my personal and professional life, have declared themselves, quote, deceivers in hiding. Original Mossad slogan, by deception thou shalt do war, and deceit is essential in warfare, and Shin Bet slogan, defender shall not be seen. Jewish mob stalking works like this. Jews pass your photo and details around by mobile phone and conspicuously stalk you wherever you go. Once you start discussing it or taking their photos, they complain to authorities that you're insane and obsessed with Jews, a Nazi, white supremacist, or potential terrorist, and that you must be watched very closely, and the Jews will help. Helping means setting you up for ruination, which benefits the police state, which protects Israeli interests. The power of Jews over my host nation of Canada is irrefutable. So, CSIS, Canadian Security Intelligence Service, the RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Toronto Police Service, and the Nation of Israel embedded within Canada, expanded my targeting to develop a GPS terrain surveillance and queuing system. This involves portable biometric gear in backpacks, duffel bags, and luggage totes, which redundantly biometrically position you amongst plain-clothed police, spies, and their assets and targets, fed to and through satellite GPS. It's designed to move the target into a scripted surveillance sequence where anything can happen to them, like a mock collision to take them out while appearing accidental, with all immediate witnesses in on the black operation. If the target has been conditioned to EEG remote influencing, as I was, they can be led along a prescripted surveillance path, like a marionette, directed, misdirected, and delayed as needed using GPS-positioned cues and resists. The cueing system covertly deployed around me uses any object or mark on the terrain, other people in the biometric field, or even GPS-located aircraft in the sky. Domestic terror black operations send government officials, police, intelligence, and the military to Israel for counterterrorism training. There they can be covertly EEG fingerprinted and their unique biometric signatures cultivated by Israeli intelligence. Beyond detecting the international locations of plain-clothed intelligence and police for Israeli Jewish operations using GPS queuing systems, important decision makers can be covertly mob-stalked by Jews for life, yielding unlimited political blackmail. As Jewish deception and hiding are further finessed to fabricated domestic terror patsies and the events to go with them, more persons seek Israel for the best counterterrorism training. Jewish stalkers were so intent on always appearing to be a victim in anything I recorded, they gave themselves away as my core predators, despite so many government agencies serving as their camouflage.
Thank you, Eric. And folks, if you want to listen to the first five parts of Stephen O'Keefe's testimony, the link is in the post for this show. And you scroll down to part eight, Testimonies of Targeted Individuals, and you've got Kay Griggs, Dr. Ronnie Caldares, and then you've got Stephen O'Keefe's there, all in order. Then you've also got family members below that, and we actually played on our last show letter from Andrew's father, which was extremely moving. So Eric, what would you like to say about this that we just played?
Well, there's so much information there, Andy. People might want to listen to that one again as well. This is very, very complex, and it's using very, very high technologies that most people are not aware of. And unfortunately, this global network system of control is coming down around us. And the targeted individuals like Stephen O'Keefe and myself, we're more or less the canaries in the coal mine. They can do what they want with us with the system, and they're testing it on us. But they're also testing their directed energy weapons and the neuro weapons on us, that's mind weapons. Just a couple little comments. EEG is electroencephalogram. All of us can be identified by our brain prints, believe it or not, because of the very, very high tech abilities of our technologies nowadays, and even identified, from great distances with satellites, etc. So it would be worthwhile for people to listen to O'Keefe's entire setup and this last one as well, because it is so complex. But what at the core of it, what you see is his comment that this is a culturally Jewish phenomena, number one. So this would go way back, to the biblical days of where they had stoning and shunning and and swarming. All these things are very much a part of gang stalking, but they are culturally Jewish. And before I forget to say it, I'll also say that they are culturally Masonic, because for years Masons have had their slow dagger, soft dagger, silent dagger techniques, which are the same. But then Tex Mars informed us through a lot of research that Masonry is a Judaic cult. The Scientologists, which again is another satanic cult, all these are satanic cults. It was founded by British and American intelligence. And they have their version of this called Fair Game. And if someone goes into Scientology and then tries to get out, they're very likely to undergo this kind of ordeal, which is meant to secretly destroy someone and rob them of their assets as well. This is Dr. Ronnie Kilda calls it the organization. There's many names, the Khazarian Mafia, the International Zionist Criminal Syndicate. But this is what's running the world. This is what runs our government. And Stephen O'Keefe's last point is that the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and security systems are actually the camouflage for the Jews. In other words, the Jews control the country to such an extent that they control all of these federal agencies and state and local agencies. Now, that seems preposterous as well. And yet, that's what Bobby Fischer told us years ago. Bobby Fischer, the brilliant, probably the greatest chess master ever, who was of Jewish parentage, but he converted to Christianity. His statement was, my thesis is the Jews are criminal people. The Jews completely control the United States of America, and the Jews are using America to conquer the world for them. And you just can't argue with that if you start researching it. All of those are correct. And Stephen O'Keefe, let's face it, the man's been destroyed. He's being destroyed. But it's in a system that the government is carrying out on behalf of the satanic handlers of government. And also, one thing you might not have noticed, it went by fast in his testimony there, they can use this against politicians, and they do use it to control politicians. So if you think the politicians are, sleazy, immoral, and everything, well, a lot of them are being controlled, and this is how they do it. This is part of it. Of course, the Epstein sex scandal is part of it too, the blackmail system. But there's many ways to control human beings, and this is one of the most odious and destructive. And so this is why it's important to listen to O'Keefe on this.
Well, it's interesting what you said there, because, of course, Alison Chablot, who has been relentlessly pursued in the UK through the courts and what have you for uploading songs to YouTube, she describes herself as a satirist. She made some complaints of her own to the police that there were elements within the Jewish community that actually sent her threatening tweets, and she gave them all the information. And on at least, I don't know how many occasions it was, but it was at least twice where she was told, oh, the sergeant that's dealing with that has left. That's certainly what she conveyed, that I've heard her convey. And I'm like, well, if you wrote to someone, you'd have bad service from a company, and you wrote to them and then, okay, we'll look into this. And they got back to you, oh, the manager was looking into it, has left, so we can't do anything. Well, it's obviously not true. And I can say from when I was in the police, and all right, I'm going back to 2006 when I left, but certainly, what happens, it's like any organisation, people move from police station to police station. People might get promoted from sergeant to inspector. People might change direction. They might go from, into a burglary squad or a drug squad, or they go from a uniform to plain clothes. And when that happens, whatever work they have left over gets doled out amongst everyone else in the squad. And it's always a pain when it happens because, of course, what would you prefer to do? Would you prefer to work on something that you started, or would you prefer to take something that somebody else started who may have a completely different way of writing things up to you that you've then got to decipher and sometimes go back to people that have already been spoken to and what have you to try and make sense of what you've got? So it's not something that you look forward to, being given somebody else's work. But this is how it worked in practice when I was there. So when I was told that, oh, we're not looking at this anymore because the person who's looking into it has left, that was obviously fobbing her off. And the people that she had claimed had sent these particular tweets were Jewish. So again, it would make me think, well, the police have come after her because elements in the Jewish community don't like what she said or sung. And then when she comes back with evidence that she's been threatened by elements of the Jewish community, nothing's done on her behalf. So it would seem very, very one-sided, Eric.
Yes, and this is all very mysterious to most of us. How does it work? You know, how does the secret government work? You know, who's really in control? Well, I'm going to postulate something here based on what's kind of bounce off what Stephen O'Keefe came up with. I've just published on my two websites, 911nwo.com and gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, an article called The Kahilla, or the Jewish Kahilla, C-A-H-I-L-L-A. You don't know what you don't know. There is a potential explanation here. This comes back from about 1934, a colonel in the military who claims that he's quoting British intelligence, an American colonel. And he's talking about the kind of the hidden structure of the Jewish power structure in all over the world. And he says the Kahilla is constructed on the symbol of seven. First, however, over each hemisphere is a prince of Jewry known as a sponsor. There is a sponsor for the Eastern Hemisphere and a sponsor for the Western Hemisphere. Reliable authority has attested, by the way, that the sponsor for the Western Hemisphere is none other than a pinch hitter for presidents. We can assume it's the Rockefellers, which explains why this gentleman occupies his position of such tremendous economic, financial, and political importance in American state affairs. He is the absolute overlord over 10 million Jews in the Western Hemisphere. He orders their lives and their affairs, and they in turn make it their business to see that he is kept ensconced in his power over American officialdom. So the nation within a nation has a hidden structure. And then it goes on to say the sponsor for the Eastern Hemisphere, who we can assume is Rothschild, is not of consequence in this article, but do not miss the very important fact that both sponsors for both hemispheres are accountable only to Akkad Ham, A-K-A-D-H-A, apostrophe A-M, the unknown and uncrowned king of Jewry throughout the earth, who we can assume is Satan, whose identity is kept a guarded secret. Akkad Ham rules the Jews of this earth by an effective and devastating system. He has, as has been said, his prince sponsor in each hemisphere. Then under these prince sponsors falls the 7x7 organization. Under each sponsor, there are 7 arch censors. Under each arch censor, there are 7 ministers. Under each minister, there are 7 heralds. Under each herald, there are 7 couriers. Under each courier, there are 7 scriveners. Under each scrivener, there are 7 auditors. Under each auditor, there are 7 mutes. This figures out to 960,800 influential Jews in each hemisphere, or a world total of almost 2 million, organized into a tight, rigidly controlled body, every man knowing all the men under him, but only the one man above him, and all responsive to the prince sponsor at the top. Okay, now you're talking a real chain of command here, and now we can kind of see who the boss is, right? Satan. There is no Jew of consequence in North America who is not involved in this terrible organization, terrible at least in its power for predatory control of Christian society, or who is not listed somewhere down the line on the roster of its obedient adherents. So this is the hidden. I would suggest, I just ran across this in the last couple of weeks, Andy. I would suggest this may well be the answer to what underlies our secret government, and has, you know, for a long, long time, and this is how they do it. But I'd be glad to get your feedback on that, your impression of that. Have you heard of that?
I hadn't, you know, that particular name that you said. I mean, this is where I've seen all the roads leading to in the past. And of course, when you look at the laws that they're now pushing through, this international definition of anti-Semitism, which essentially they want to be immune from any sort of criticism whatsoever. They want to make it a criminal offence to actually criticise their behaviour. And then, of course, we see in the US, we've got Trump doing all these executive orders for them that, you know, any talk of of Israel, you know, anti-Israel sentiment in colleges. And I've already started seeing cases rolling in where, oh, somebody said something that was anti-Semitic in this college, so a so-called Jewish victim is now suing the college. They've already started rolling up. So it's pretty obvious that these people seem to be working in cahoots, which is quite interesting because one of the fundamental principles of the international definition of anti-Semitism is alleging that they act as a collective when they've been going from country to country getting countries to sign up to this. So if that's not Jews acting as a collective, I don't know what is. And then, of course, you see what Trump's been doing for these people. And it just goes on and on and on. And the gratitude that he gets for it is what Rick Wiles referred to as the Jew coup, when he was reading actually out of a Jewish publication, I believe. And he got hammered for saying that. But you look at all the people, the main players behind the impeachment. And they're from this same group. So I really don't understand why Trump's doing what he's doing, because, you know, if I did the amount of things that he'd done for Israel and I got that sort of treatment in return, I wouldn't be too keen to help them out in the future. But something's going on where he continues to do so. It's very, very sad what's going on in the world. It's great that there are still a few of us that are coming out and saying this. And it's just... It just boggles the mind that this level of control is being wielded against us when we're just getting the truth out to people. And we're not being, they want to silence us. They don't want to debate us. We have the facts. So if what we're saying is so incorrect, why aren't you refuting it? Why are you just trying to legislate against us from saying it? And I think that the audience knows the exact answer to that. So Eric, your comments, and then we can move on to your next track.
Yeah, I think it's very clear. Some of the very best and most brilliant TIs, Dr. Ronnie Kill, the former chief medical officer of Finland, and Kay Griggs, masters in Scottish and American history, old family descendant from Virginia of James Madison, Gloria Naylor, who wrote the book 1996. All of these people who are experiencing the stalking at the ground level see the very, very important role of Jews in the stalking. So they're experiencing it, and I've experienced it, although it's not confined to Jews. I've certainly had plenty of Jewish stalkers, as well as Masons, I believe, and military people. But so, yeah, I mean, we have to go with the evidence. We have to go with the data. We have to go with the truth. And, of course, their whole game is to destroy the truth. Kay Griggs makes the point that every Jew, any Jew, is automatically a member of Israeli military. And I would say, yes, any Jew, because of this structure, is automatically a spy. And this is why Nikola Tesla said, you know, years ago, never trust a Jew, because they may be the nicest people in the world. They might be your best friend. And this is my experience. but there's something there you're not seeing. They have an objective, which is take over the world for themselves. And that's been their plan for 3,000 years, as expressed in many, many of their documents and quotes. And they look at all non-Jews as the enemy. Well, okay, so now that they're in control of the major nations, this then becomes operationalized. Now, Donald Trump himself was gang-stalked, and his administration was gang-stalked for the first 2 and 3 years, using some of these very same techniques that I'm talking about. And of course, now he's got his best friends are in the White House and they're Jews, and his worst enemies are in the White House and they're Jews. So he's being severely handled. But that being said, I think he's been in the back pocket of the Rothschilds and the Jews for many decades. But and now the, you know, Jews are telling him, oh, you know, your the number of your name is 424. And that's the number of the Messiah, the, you know, the savior of the universe. And you're him. And, you know, you're going to blah, blah, blah. So they, you know, they're whispering in his ear. They're pushing him here. They're pushing him there. He's very tightly constrained, I think, in what he can do. And plus, he's basically, you know, been in their pocket and he's a con man. So, you know, so don't get your hopes up. You know, I mean, all this populism stuff was said to get elected. It didn't really mean it. But yeah, let's go on to the next track. We'll get a sense of what it's like to be gang stalked. That's what I tried to portray in this next one. The FBI uses these techniques in their COINTELPRO and others. They still do it anytime they want to intimidate a witness, for instance, like the guy who saw the car that disproved the official suicide story of Vince Foster during the Clinton administration. Was severely gang stalked, and his testimony is, and it was by FBI agents, and the FBI calls this managed aggression. Okay, so people are in a chain of command, they're listening, they're getting orders, they're intimidating somebody. It's no touch torture, but I've got a post on my website about that too. But yeah, let's listen to "We Will Stalk You."
Thank you, Eric. Here we go, folks.
We will stalk you.
We're Satan's secret army.
We will mock you
with street theater and psychological attacks.
We will track you
with cell phone, satellite, C4 ISR.
We will zap you
with electronic, acoustic, and neural weapons.
We will tail you
into the store, onto the highway with helicopters, planes, and boats.
We will bully you
to make sure your every day is a bad day.
We will rob you
with home and car break-ins.
We will terrorize you,
staging near-fatal accidents.
We will kill you
with soft kill, slow kill, silent kill weapons.
We will institutionalize you.
They'll say you're crazy when you report you're being followed and zapped.
We will stalk you.
We're Satan's secret army.
We will stalk you.
We're Satan's secret army.
We will stalk you.
We're Satan's secret army.
There you go, folks. So I think that was pretty self-explanatory. A good job there, Eric. And we've got one more track to play, just to let you know. We've only got about just 11 minutes, and it's 6 minutes. So are you happy for me to dive into that, and then you can wrap it up for us?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
This one, folks, is called "You Are the Enemy." So I'll put this on now. Here we go.
The following is from "You Are the Enemy," an article in Veterans Today, 2014, by Preston James, PhD. There is now a new American war. It is inside America. It is called the War on Terror. The enemy is you. It is a staged, phony war that has been created by the International Zionist Crime Syndicate, IZCS. Every military force needs an enemy. Without an ongoing or perpetual war, the war profiteers quickly go bankrupt. In order to keep their profit stream going from war, war profiteers need to create successive new wars or a significant threat of impending war. This new war on terror has an enemy. That enemy is the American people, you and me. And anyone who wants to restore the American Republic will also be defined as a domestic terrorist. This new war on terror has been socially engineered to provide a continual stream of degradations and provocations against the average American, provoking many in a never-ending stream to resist and causing them to be labeled dissenters. Once they have been labeled dissenters, they are put on a Department of Homeland Security, DHS, Main Corps Terror Watch List, which top insiders know is a targeted assassination list for later eradication of all freedom-loving Americans who want to restore the American Constitutional Republic. At present, the Main Corps list has over 10 million Americans on it, and it is growing every day with thousands of new additions. Get a ticket for a driving offense or any arrest, even if later proven innocent, and it is likely you will be placed on this Main Corps terror watch and assassination list. Over time, these provocations are designed to result in a continuing stream of American dissenters that want to take their republic back from the Zionist hijackers and will meet DHS tyranny and force with the like. Any and all dissenters are now being defined as, quote, enemies of the state, end quote. The Department of Homeland Security is now recognized as a major IZCS beachhead inside America and part of a long-term plan to establish a foreign-controlled IZCS neo-Bolshevik military force inside America to tyrannize, wage war against, and eventually serially mass murder most Americans. DHS is a terrorist group hand-assembled by American-Israeli dual-citizen traitors and is designed to tyrannize, capture, and eventually be deployed against Americans to serially mass murder them. This is why they have been called the new American Gestapo of the neo-Bolshevik Red Cheka terror machine. This is why some top insiders refer to DHS as the new American Gestapo, or Stasi. Some see it now morphing into a new Red Cheka mass murder machine for dispensing Bolshevik-style red terror and the serial mass murder of Americans. The war on terror is obviously a phony, but it has been the greatest boon to the American defense complex ever, with many times more net American tax dollars spent on this war than any other war in history, including World War II or the Vietnam War. Here is the new game in the so-called American defense industry. It is a stateside game, and it involves magically transforming any and all innocent, constitutional, law-abiding citizens into domestic dissenters, domestic terrorists, or potential domestic terrorists. Either of these categories is considered reasonable suspicion, quote-unquote, enough to place them on numerous watch lists and to stalk or gang stalk these folks COINTELPRO style. Actually, the real situation is just the opposite. It is the U.S. government, and specifically the fusion centers and the Department of Homeland Security, run by perverts, thugs, and lowlifes, and enemies of we the people. These scum are the real risk to the true and actual national security of America, the Republic, and a significant risk to all honest, law-abiding, constitutional Americans. And the U.S. government and DHS and Fusion Center officials are nothing less than world-class criminals committing both high treason and sedition against America the Republic. The U.S. government has been hijacked and is being run by those who have turned everything upside down. A serious spell, a racial delusion of superiority, has been cast on many Judaics, no matter where they live, but especially so among those living in Greater Israel, where the Luciferian hex flag flies. Whether true or not, top Zionist leaders believe this hex flag signifies the merger of demonic, fallen angel, beast bloodlines from above, bred with human female bloodlines below. They believe this makes them the chosen ones of their god, Lucifer, and superhuman, or part God also.
That was fascinating, Eric. We've only got about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to turn it over to you to close out the show any way you would like.
Okay, well, many thanks, Andy. You know, we're getting down to some very, very raw, hard realities here. I'm not particularly worried about offending anyone. If there is a group that has come and they're criminals and they've taken over the United States of America and other major countries, they need to be called out and they need to be punished for the crimes that they've committed. Now, if we can identify them by, you know, their allegiance with particular groups or historical movements, that makes it that much easier. And we've done that. And here we have this testimony by Preston James, PhD, author of Veterans Today, or for Veterans Today, which just lays it out. I mean, the war on terror is a phony. The Department of Homeland Security, which was formed right after 9/11, which was an inside job and a Mossad job, was headed up by Marcus Wolf, a Jew who had been head of the Stasi in East Germany. And then it was started, the first head of DHS was Michael Chertoff, the Jew, who had been, I think, in the Department of Justice on the day of 9/11 and kept the investigation from finding out what happened and sent all the Israelis home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what we've had is we've had this massive infiltration of the United States of America by this satanic cult. And, oh, we can't talk about them because that's who you can't criticize. I'm sorry. We don't have a chance of defending ourselves unless we know who our enemy is. And we have now figured it out. We've laid it out on this show. We've laid it out in past shows. Here's Hugh Aikens, author of Synagogue Rising, 2012. Israel was behind all four fronts in 9/11, that momentous event in our nation's history. One, the actual terror attacks themselves, okay, orchestrated out of Israel and the United States military and intelligence sectors with the interagencies. Two, the subsequent cover-up. And both three, the U.S.-led military invasions overseas, which on which we spent, you know, $6 or $7 trillion for greater Israel, conquering their neighbors. And four, the domestic security state apparatus, which is what we're talking about here, the global Gestapo or Stasi that's coming down around the world. This is the Bolshevik Revolution of the world, led by the United States, which, if you want to go with the biblical metaphor that Tex Mars used, the United States is the beast that the whore of Babylon is riding. We're the senseless, stupid beast. So I'm trying to get my American friends and neighbors to wake up, because we're the cash cow. We have been used for almost a century, over a century, to conquer the world for this particular satanically energized group. And it's simply not acceptable to waste our nation and our, you know, the blood and the resources of our nation for such a hideous objective as to bring in the Antichrist's satanic kingdom with a headquarters in Jerusalem. But all of these big frauds go back to the same group, and they goes right back to the same people, to the same major interests. You know, they want more world government centered out of Jerusalem. They want to control all the world's resources. They want to destroy all non-Jews. And they want to have all the resources of the world for themselves. There's so many quotes that go back through history where Jews say, this is what we're going to do. And satanically energized as they are, and I believe they may well have this Nephilim blood phenomenon going on here, we're dealing with Satan's children. We're dealing with Satan's kids. They are behind this stuff. We've got to deal with that, which means we have to purge our countries of this very, very coordinated group that is destroying our countries and our world, and want to remake it per the Jewish Universal Empire. Tikkun Olam is the term they use, the Hebrew term, reinvent the world. Tex Mars talked a lot about this. Tex Mars, one of my great heroes, and I've got 50 of his podcasts on CDs. I recommend everybody look into his research on this. He was one of the first who just came right out and said things as they are. He just recently passed last year, but we honor him and try to carry on his legacy, Andy.
Thank you so much, Eric. That brings us to the end of the show, folks. So I want to thank all of you for listening today. I want to thank Eric very much for joining me. I will certainly be setting up another date with him to come back on in the near future. Again, thank you for listening. I will, of course, be back with you all tomorrow. And until then, folks, have a wonderful day, and bye for now.